Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We just spent some time with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel talking about the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad Donald Trump appointee to the D.C. District for U.S. Attorney. And I want to give a big shout out to Tiffany on the text line. Letting Jim and I both know that she has called Ron Johnson's office, both in D.C. and in Madison, to say no to Ed Martin as a nominee. Tiffany from River Falls, we love you. Thanks so much. Thanks to Cindy from Appleton. We weren't able to get to your call today. We appreciate you calling in. John from Madison, Cam from Appleton, everybody on the text line for piping up and piping in. Steve from Milwaukee, got a new listener on WISS texting in on the 920. Very, very unhappy with Ed Martin as the nominee in the D.C. Circuit. But we've got some local news that we need to cover. The State Slate with Dan Schaefer is here, none other than Dan Schaefer, to lead us through today's news, our political editor here at Civic Media. So, Dan, let's just jump right to it. Line item, like, let's get rid of this from the Wisconsin GOP out of Governor Evers' budget, is higher taxes for rich people. They don't want to do that, do they?
Not exactly. And thank you for having me on the first place Wisconsin Broadcasters Association award-winning radio show, The Maggie Dawn Show. Wonderful to be joining you, and congratulations on the big award victory over the weekend.
Thank you so much, my friend. It is a team effort. Everybody here at Civic, including my two fine guests, both guest co-host and guest today, Dan and yourself. It takes all of us to do this, so I appreciate that. Thank you, my friend, and thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Big news in the state today. You know, we're kind of getting to the point of the budget process where the rubber is really going to meet the road here. And so Tony Evers put forth his budget proposal earlier this year. They had listening sessions around the state over the past couple months. And now the Joint Finance Committee has scheduled an executive session for this Thursday at 1 p.m. in the Wisconsin State Capitol, when they are expected to remove dozens and dozens and dozens of items, basically the entire budget proposal that Tony Evers put forward. And so there's a document out there. I've shared it around on my social media, but it's about 20-page list of all of the different things that they are going to be removing from the budget. And, you know, the Wisconsin Watch did a story on you know, some of the feedback at these listening sessions. And the top concerns there were healthcare, education, and childcare. And one in particular in childcare, because this is an issue that I've covered a bit at the Recombobulation area. We ran a piece from childcare organizer Corrine Hendrickson last week at the Recombobulation area. The Childcare Counts program, which is the funding for which is set to expire, it looks like they're going to be removing that piece from the budget as well. So the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel headline on this, from marijuana legalization to PFAS, these are all of the different items that the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee plans to be removing from the budget proposal in that executive session this Thursday. So the state budget is the biggest thing that our state government does every 2 years. And this is one of the most significant moments within that.
To the extent that I want to kick it to you, Jim, for either comment and or follow-up question, I want to read through the list of the things that they're going to take out. And I want everyone that's listening, including perhaps most importantly our conservative friends and Republican voters, want to listen to the list of things that Republicans in this state are saying no to in our budget. And I want you to think about your most closely held values. Okay? Because I truly believe the vast majority of us, we actually hold very similar values, and budgets are expressions of our values. And I want you to ask yourself honestly, if what I'm about to share with you, saying no to these things, actually reflects your values. Here we go. Increased funding for childcare, taxing the rich more, mental health services for students, lead abatement in public schools, financial aid for the University of Wisconsin system for low-income students, increase clarity in election and voting rules, including automatic voter registration, auditing health coverage denials, addressing and actually deploying the money that we have to remediate PFAS contaminations, and legalizing marijuana. Last but not least, a 48-hour waiting period for gun purchases. Please look deep into your heart and ask yourself, do your values really say no to all of those things? I would think not.
And your basic humanity, right? Your basic humanity. All of those, Maggie, Dan, across the board, they go to who we are as human beings. Again, putting aside the partisan perspectives that all of us have, and yes, that animate this process, what part of children and healthcare and education and keeping us safe? What shouldn't that be across the board? At least the headlines for everybody out there. Shouldn't that be a part of this? And Dan, I do have a follow-up question for you. So you made reference to all of the listening sessions that happened. I believe those were both for Democrats and Republicans alike. Does that get rolled into this in some way? Do the Democrats and Republicans both say, you know, we were at five different locations in the period of the past several weeks. This is what we heard. I heard from people concerned about child care. I heard people concerned about mental health services, about, again, waiting periods before you can purchase a weapon. And how does that process, the people actually talking to our elected representatives, how does that, if at all, get melded into this process? Or is the decision already made?
I think the hope is, of course, that this does not fall on deaf ears. I think that this fear is that it does fall on deaf ears. Mm-hmm. And I think the, you know, you want your government to be responsive to its constituents. And because of the gerrymandered maps for the past, you know, 10 plus years, the Republican legislature has not had to be. But there are tighter majorities this year. There are, you know, you could, it's still, you know, a fairly sizable Republican majority, but you, there are going to be legislators. They're going to have to answer for these votes. They have to answer for that list that you read off, Maggie, of all of those different things that they are removing from the state budget. You know, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee is a state senator, Howard Markline. His seat is going to be up in the next election. He hasn't faced a ballot on the new maps. And so it's going to be incumbent on all of us to be watching what legislators in some of these swing districts in particular are doing to defend votes that are clearly against the priorities expressed at these listening sessions, against the priorities of the people of Wisconsin.
Here's what concerns me, Dan, is this. What we've been seeing in Congress in D.C., right, is literal silence, dead silence in committee hearing after committee hearing as Democrats introduce amendments to the budget reconciliation bill, right? So we've got this weird, of course, Wisconsin sitting at the literal center and an exemplar of what is happening on Capitol Hill. Republicans, it appears to be enforced silence and enforced required unanimity. There is no breaking of ranks. Are we looking down the barrel of similar party line enforcement here? Or do you think because the districts are closer, you actually might see some movement? Because a number of those congressional, especially on the House side, Republicans, a few of them are in purple districts. They're going to face damnedly hard reelection races, and it doesn't seem to be moving the needle in D.C. at all. What do you portend here?
You know, in the Assembly in particular, I think Robin Voss has had a pretty much an iron grip on the caucus there. They have very much voted in line with what he has, his priorities have been as Assembly Speaker. He's the longest serving Assembly Speaker in state history. And, you know, he has stayed in that position for a reason. But I do think it's, you know, there are going to be swing votes on the budget on a certain measures. There's seats in Milwaukee County or the Fox Valley or southwestern Wisconsin, some of these swingier regions in the state, in this purple state that we live in, that maybe, you know, voted for Donald Trump in the fall and voted for Susan Crawford in the spring, right? So there's going to be some accountability that can be brought to these. But I think I would look to the Senate in particular. The Democrats have a real chance of flipping the Senate. in the 2026 election. And some of these close districts, like I mentioned, Markline seat, there's one in the western suburbs around Milwaukee, another in kind of Racine County and southern Milwaukee County as well. So some of these districts, I think it's going to be really important to hold these legislators accountable, because voters can actually do that because we don't have gerrymandered maps anymore.
You and I have had this conversation innumerable times. I consistently try to explain to people gerrymandering even hurts your own team, because the elected officials don't have to care about what you want them to do, because it's a gimme for them, right? Like, that's not good for anybody. Folks, if you're looking for Ron Johnson's Senate office numbers, don't worry, they'll be in the show notes for today. You can find those at civicmedia.us. His Madison office number is 608-240-9629. That's 608-240-9629. Well, these upcoming Senate elections aren't the only elections and election news that has been getting made as of late. Dan, we've got another Republican throwing his hat in the ring for the governor's race and, frankly, trotting out the same old playbook. Tell us more, Dan.
Yeah, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman is the first declared Republican who is running for governor in 2026. We had about a month where nobody was campaigning in Wisconsin, so of course we got to get back to it. That's as much of a break as we're going to get in this state.
The yard signs came down just briefly, and now apparently they're going to go back up.
Right? Put it back up.
And now right back up. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I took note of in Shulman's announcement was that he was, you know, really talking about, you know, loving your neighbor and getting back to a place in Wisconsin where you love your neighbor. Well, he is somebody who has been especially divisive in recent years because he has been, like many Wow County Republicans, if just bashing Milwaukee to raise his profile. So he did this. I don't know if you remember the whole Cracker Barrel incident that happened, the little war of words between Shulman and Milwaukee County, as a mayor of Milwaukee, Cavalier Johnson. And not only that, but, you know, the Washington County executive here made it a real priority to put a measure to referendum in his county, to called it this anti-crime program. He really played it up. This was in the fall of 22, a lot of backlash to the defund the police type of rhetoric that you had heard in the years prior. And even though he is the county executive of a county that votes like 70-80% Republican, was not able to get a measure that brought greater funding to the sheriff's department in that county passed. He failed in that effort after, you know, really trumpeting it for a long time. So it's not really a strong record to run on. And it's just the same typical city versus suburb divisive politics that we've seen from Wow County Republicans for a long time.
Yeah, it's a sad place when if you're running on love thy neighbor, except for that neighbor, it doesn't really work so well. Jim
and Dan, again, we've got a limited period of time. I know before the next break, you look at that. You're the political guy here on Civic Media. You think about the strategy. What kind of recommendations is being given by his people? And shouldn't that recommendation, to your good point, be a whole lot more centrist and not at these extremes, hoping to gather in those larger votes that maybe in the past you've not gotten?
It doesn't seem like the way he's starting things out.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
Watch this space, folks. We'll have more Dan Schaefer with us next week. Thanks so much, Dan. We always appreciate your insights on the State Slate with Dan Schaefer, creator of the Recombobulation. Come back with Jim and I for our final closing thoughts on this Tuesday afternoon on the Civic Media Radio Network.